SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? Hope everyone is having a great end to the work week on this Freaky Friday. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Emmy Award-winning sports analyst, CBS sports analyst, and 10-year NFL defineman, Lee J. Doosable. And you know I'm with my squad, a loyal Pittsburgh Steeler fan and former WNBA guard who is a social media phenom for her trick shot challenge. The most educated person on this program, everybody's favorite auntie Chantel Trimeter, and a South Beach super journalist who is a graduate of Florida A&M and a man who will never utter a negative word since he left, you know, doing the columnist work about the Miami Dolphins. Omar Kelly, how's everybody doing tonight?
You know what? I mean, you got right about the whole intelligent, educated person on the show. But thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. But, you know, I said yesterday I was going to come on today, right, nephews? And I was going to talk about, you know, if anyone broke the flight protocol last night.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Go story time and early in the story.
First
I like
of all,
it.
Yeah. And one, if you're going to go first class, like don't sit in the first row because you have a wall in front of you. I couldn't stretch out my legs. You know, I'm only 5'7", but still. Yeah. But the man sat next to me, you know, he was pretty cool. But now it's 11:30. We're getting ready to take off. And he turns on the screen. So I'm like, oh, hell.
So 11:30 at night, right? Because we want to paint the picture, auntie. We want to paint the
absolutely.
Picture.
And so I'm like, oh, hell, you know what? Let me go and take my Z-Quil, my melatonin, try and knock myself out a little bit because this man going to make me mad.
Where your mask at, auntie?
Oh, I had the mask on because the person behind me was coughing. The eye mask.
Like the
You know what becomes my mask is my hoodie.
Okay.
I wear a small, but my hoodie was 2X. So that's my blanket slash head mask, everything.
Yeah, cover your eyes and all that.
Yeah. And so now I'll say this. He didn't break the plane flight protocol. But you know who did?
Who did?
The damn flight attendants.
Oh.
Because the first 30 minutes of the flight, everybody trying to sleep, and they up there talking, having a whole conversation. They talking about Burger King. They talking about food they going to get when they get home, how many legs they did on this trip. Then 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody's asleep, we get somebody coming over the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen, are there any medical personnel on the plane? Can you please come to the front of the plane? And I'm like,
whoa, this story took a left.
Right. So the man sitting in on the other side, on 1D, on the other side of the aisle, got up. And they thought he was having a heart attack. He started convulsing. He started seizing like an older man. And like three doctors ran up to the front of the plane. They were trying to get him right. And he was like, well, I took a COVID test this morning. And I'm like, wait a minute, Heffa, what are you doing on this plane if you're taking a COVID test?
So
I had to mask up twice. But he said it was negative. But anyway, so they finally got him back to his seat. Then he had to get up and go to the bathroom and needed three people to help him go to the restroom. It was ridiculous. Then when we're pulling into Atlanta, there's two ambulances that are right next to the plane.
What?
There's like four EMTs that are ready to come onto the plane. They rush on the plane. And then, you know, then they take him off in a wheelchair. And I'm like, he just wanted to have a ride off the wheelchair. Wasn't nothing wrong with him, but a little bit of blood pressure going up and he was dehydrated.
No, so I don't do that.
Look, if you're sick, don't get on the plane. That's breaking flight etiquette.
Oh, that is breaking flight protocol rule.
Hello.
If you're sick, don't get on no damn flight.
Get your ass off.
That's the easiest way to get sick. Story time. Let me extend this story time. So you guys all know, and it's not even recent now, auntie, the time is, you believe it was a July when I got engaged? That's like almost, 6 months now?
Man.
Time flies. So we were flying out to Italy, right? And like most of the people are masked up. The airlines, you know, overseas, they get a little bit more strict than they are
right,
here.
They're not playing with us.
They don't play that, right? So we were masked up. Like auntie would say, we was in first class. You know,
come on.
It was a big week. It was a big week for me. You know, I was about to get engaged.
But
so while we're waiting in line to get on the plane, there is a young lady and she keeps just coughing, barely covering her mouth. And I'm like, dog, Lord, please, just whatever you do, Lord, just don't put her anywhere near us.
Right.
sure enough, Auntie, we get on the plane with everybody else in first class, and then there's a few empty seats, right? And you know what happens after that, Auntie? What do they do? They upgrade people,
upgrade
right?
Upgrade you.
Sure enough, Auntie, guess she where this young upgrade. Lady was sitting?
Coughaholic sitting next to you.
No, right in front of us. So, you know, in a plane, the air going backwards.
The air going backwards.
Oh!
Auntie, when I tell you that me and my, she wasn't my fiance yet. She was 4 days later, but we started right. feeling bad about, you know, COVID was that 48-hour incubation period
Hello?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
3 days later, we throwing up in the room, sick. So half of my trip in Italy, we was down bad. We was down bad.
I would have taken her picture.
Sure enough, though, you know, when we got back to the States, we had COVID. This girl gave us COVID on the damn plane. And the airline had a rule that you had to wear your mask, and she kept taking her mask off. No. Like, doesn't make any damn sense for you to be taking your mask off when you coughing up and down. And it's like, when you fly international, like, we wear our masks and I have shields, right? But when you fly in 8-9 hours, you can't have that on the whole time. You got to drink water. You got to use the bathroom.
Y'all had a mask and shields, and y'all still caught COVID.
Still got, because got COVID. That little small time that we right. had to eat.
Nah, because it's too much. I would have asked, seeing her, I mean, I don't know what they would have done, but I would have asked them.
Man, when you fly international, you got to be careful. You can't just get too rowdy, because we had to stop in Morocco. You know what I'm saying? We ain't trying to get taken off the plane in Morocco.
They kick you off the plane in Morocco? Yeah.
You might not ever get back. Right. It might
but
be
if you
over
get, yeah, if you sick, like, stay off the plane. And also, you know, it's even worse at nighttime, right, dudes? Because when you got 300 people on the plane and at least 100 of them are sleeping with their mouth open.
Exactly.
So
air, all that COVID, just getting circulated up there in the airways, man.
Right. So we're going to see on Monday if Auntie's out and y'all like, damn, y'all, Auntie done messed around and got COVID, knock on wood. But
it was old boy on the plane. Huh?
Those flights, that's an incubator for illness. And I don't care what they say.
Well, I know this.
They don't circulate. They circulate the air. They don't let in new air.
Exactly.
And let out bad air. No.
Well, speaking of air, somebody was airing it out yesterday. Dudes, you know, we said somebody wasn't going to lead his squad to the little win. What are we talking about? Football today?
We're going to get into that. So we got a really good show, y'all. Let's go ahead and get it cracking. The NFL was not the only league to witness an insane finish last night. The NBA had one as well. We'll talk about which game that was. We'll preview some of the marquee matchups taking place this Sunday. One of them is a battle of two young quarterbacks that will always be tied together because they were in the same draft class. We'll talk about that. And we'll give you our lock picks for NFL Sunday. But first, Auntie kind of alluded to it, man. Last night, Thursday night football between the Las Vegas Raiders and LA Rams. There's so much to decipher in this game. But Auntie and Omar, we're going to go straight to the end of the game because that's where the fireworks happen, right? Baker Mayfield pulled out some late game heroics as the Rams rallied late to beat the undisciplined Raiders. Now, Mayfield led his team on a 98-yard drive to win this game. Here's what it sounded like on Rams Radio Network.
15 seconds. Mayfield flings it. Left side. End zone. Caught! Wow! Caught! Caught by Van Jefferson! With 9 seconds remaining, touchdown, LA! 16 up, and a Matt Gay extra point can win it.
Rams Radio Network was lit, Auntie, wasn't they?
they was hyped over there. What's going on over there?
Let's put this into perspective, right? Baker Mayfield was 0-22 in his career as a starter when trailing by 13 or more points. But this was the second time he's led a 13-point comeback off the bench. Let's not forget, I believe in 2018, he erased a 14-point deficit in his NFL debut in that game. I think they ultimately lost that game, but this was the first time he actually won a game. So there's so much to decipher in this game. Let's break it down, right? This game should have been over at halftime, right? The Raiders settled too many times in the red zone for field goals. Davante Adams had 3 catches for 71 yards in the first half, Auntie. Mm-hmm. Guess what he finished the game with?
Please don't tell me less than 75 yards.
3 catches, 71 damn yards, Auntie.
Come on.
Josh McDaniels. What the hell was that last night? Let's just break down how the Raiders allowed the Rams to come back and win. And not only allowed the Rams to come back and win, allowed a quarterback that ain't even been there for 2 days right. come and beat you.
Right.
I believe the score was 13-3 at half, if I'm not mistaken. Let's not forget, right before going into half, the Raiders had a chance to extend the game, right? Derek Carr kind of gets pushed up on, throws the ball. It was almost like a balloon that he let out of right. his hand. Gets picked off doing. In the red zone, in the end zone. You cannot turn the ball over in the red zone. That's a cardinal sin. That's how you lose a game quick as hell. There, at worst, Auntie, should have been 16-3 going right. into half, right? Josh Jacobs messed up his hand in this game, right? But yet, Josh McDaniels, the head coach for the Raiders, was acting like, and it's not even a dig at the person I'm about to take a dig at, it was almost like he had Zach Wilson at quarterback the way he called that second half game. I mean, Devontae Adams was cooking Jalen Ramsey that first half. And this dude, they did not get him the ball at all the second half. Like, you got to be inventive in ways you move him around and just find ways for Derek Carr to find Devontae Adams easily. They didn't get Foster Moreau, the tight end, involved in the game. They really didn't get anybody, but it really was like Mac Hollins was the number one receiver on that team because they were giving this dude end arounds. They were giving him catches in the middle of the field. But you got the best damn receiver in football that had 71 yards at half, and you don't force feed him the second half, and the Rams know you are a running football team. Like, right. it was ridiculous. But besides all that, right, let's talk about how undisciplined this damn team is. Right, I talked about it. Baker Mayfield needed two long drives to win that game last night. The 98-yard one was one. Let's talk about the drive before that, Auntie, right? The Raiders' defense stopped them with about 7 minutes left on the clock. I believe the score was still, I believe at that time it was 16-3, right? So the Raiders are about to punt the ball away, right? About seven and a half on the clock. Right, Cleveland Farrell, right, their former first-round pick, who's no longer starting. He's on special teams. He jumps off damn side on 4th-and-3 and allows the Rams to get another first down. They keep the ball there. And, of course, you know what happens when that happens, right, Auntie? They go on right. the score. But let's not forget, after Cleveland Farrell jumped offside on another third down, right, it was third and three, Max Crosby jumps offsides, right? Another first down. And Baker Mayfield in the offense score, right? You're still only down 16-10, right? You done screwed me and our producer Clip over as far as the spread because the spread was 6.5 points. You're already in the wrong with that, right? You messed up twice, undisciplined, jumped offside twice, and one on fourth down, one on third down, right? You got to know in those situations that Max Crosby, you've been coming off the edge, creating havoc. They're going to try to slow you down in that situation, right? They're going to double cadence you. You jumped off sides. You got to play a lot of football. You know, you're one of the best defensive ends of football. You can't do that in that situation. Let's go on to that last drive, Auntie, right? 98 yards. Great punt by the special teams for the Raiders, right? I mean, Mac Hollins is down there doing the gritty and everything because they've downed the ball at the 2-yard line, right? Coming out of that, they get a sack. Max Crosby gets a sack, right? Jerry Tillery, what the hell are you doing, bro? You go knock the ball out of damn Baker Mayfield's hand and get a personal foul. Now, they let you get away with one earlier when you were at the bottom of the pile and you were pushing dudes at the bottom of the pile. Their warning was right there. Game on the line. Be smart, right? Like, people are wondering, well, maybe this is why the Chargers got rid of this dude because ever since he's been with the Raiders, Auntie, he's been cooking. Jerry Tillery has been balling. But that was just a bonehead play. And as a player, you know, you cannot do certain things like that to hurt your team because that essentially would hurt his team. So they were essentially, they sacked them, right, Nanti? They had no timeouts, the Rams, right? So not only did Tillery get the personal foul, but that stops the clock, Auntie. So they get 15 yards and it stops the clock. What happens next? Baker Mayfield throws up a 50-50 jump ball, right, to Ben Skowronek, and he goes up and dunks on somebody for about 40 yards. Now the Rams got life. Again, being undisciplined, they got life. And then it came down to about 15 seconds left on the clock. They're at the 23-yard line going in to try to score to win this game, right? Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, he goes one robber. And for everybody listening that doesn't know what one robber is, that's man coverage on the outside, one high safety, the other safety drops down and plays like a robber technique. He helps on with the slot guy, right? I didn't get it. So I talked to a few defensive guys. I asked, why the hell would he call one robber? A lot of them were baffled that he did call it. One guy broke it down to me. They were trying to buy the protection for Max Crosby to ensure that he had one-on-one with Havenstein because he'd been cooking them all day. I get that. I just think with no timeouts, they throw that ball in the middle of the field, Omar and Auntie. it's hard pressed for them to be able to get up and spike it with enough time, right? So it's like, just play two shell, play the two deep safeties, play cover four in that situation. Because if you tackle them in bounds, right, they got to get everybody up. They may only have 1 second left on the clock to throw another play. There was just so many miscues by the Raiders. And we talked about McDaniels, right? I believe they threw the ball six times the whole second half. I think they thought they had a 30-point lead in the game the way they was playing that game last night. Again, Josh Jacobs, you run him into the damn ground, and you know the Rams know you're running the football, and they're stacking the box. And Devontae Adams had 71 yards at half. How the hell did he not get 13 targets the second half? It was just nonsense. Let's go ahead and listen to the Raiders head coach, Josh McDaniels, about this gut-wrenching loss.
We didn't finish the game. That's the reality. You know, I thought we were ready to play. I thought we, you know, we competed. You know, we got off to a decent start, and then we just didn't capitalize, you know. And the bottom line is until we figure out how to, you know, stop losing games with mistakes that we, you know, we do ourselves, then it makes it very difficult to win.
Yeah, really? You think? you think you're up 16-3 in that game? Three stupid penalties keep them in the game, and then on defense you go in man coverage with the game on the line and didn't even blitz. It'd be one thing if you blitz to force the quarterback to throw the ball out of his hands quick. You didn't even blitz on that play. So let me ask you this, Auntie. What is worse, losing to a quarterback that just arrived there 48 hours ago or losing to a coach who was at ESPN and only had 5 days to prepare to play you?
I forgot I was on the show, dudes.
Hey, you ain't forget. I was just setting the scene.
That's why dudes is an award-winning, host. He done went out and talked 9 straight minutes about this game. You didn't even have to be at the game to see what happened in the game.
You got to paint the picture for the people.
I love it. You know, well, first of all, one thing you said early on, dudes, you talked about Josh Jacobs. He hurt his hand really in that game. Really early in that game. And you saw him keep shaking it out. He kept shaking it out. And the fact that you still ran him 27 times.
Disrespect.
Only for 99 yards. That's ridiculous. And Derek Carr, only throws the ball 20 times.
I think he only threw it 6 times the second half on time.
Right. And Baker Mayfield, he got to the Rams like 10 minutes ago, and he threw the ball 35 times. Now, let me say this. With Baker, the last time, Baker started headbutting his teammate down there in Carolina when he didn't have no helmet on. The next thing you know, now he's playing bad, and now he's sitting on the bench. So, Mr. Mayfield, you need to be careful about hitting that noggin because, you know, Baker already a little off. And, yeah, you know, now you headbutting folks with NFL helmets on. But, you know, Josh McDaniel, I've never been a fan of Josh McDaniel. From the beginning. I think he lost that game. I think the Raiders lost that game. Like you said, so many mistakes. Max Crosby doesn't make mistakes like that. But you're making those mistakes in critical times, and it costs you the game. Baker Mayfield didn't have anything to lose. And to be honest, if I'm Sean McVay, I start Wolford next game, let him hand the ball off 3 times, and then in the next series, put Baker back in the
superstitious thing.
Yeah, and let him come off the bench because apparently he plays better off the bench.
Oh, God.
But then Josh McDaniels excuses and we just lost the game. Yeah, you lost the game. But, you know, I mean, look, as a Steeler fan, yeah, we needed the Raiders to lose that game. And we played him in a couple of weeks. We hope Josh McDaniels, you know, does the same Josh being Josh again. But, you know, it just, that doesn't make any sense. And then you're right. You lost to a coach that was, I'd rather lose to Baker Mayfield though than Jeff Saturday though.
Well, I only say I'd have to go opposite of you, Auntie, because Jeff Saturday wasn't even in the building. Like, at least there's still the coaching staff was still there, right? The offensive coordinator, Parks Frazier, who he hired, he's familiar with the offense.
But he wasn't even the offensive coordinator then.
He wasn't, but at least there's familiarity, right?
This dude didn't know the playbook, Auntie. Yeah. With the Colts, they were still working off the same plays and the game plan that they had already built.
Yeah, but still, you still got to be a head coach. Baker Mayfield has been an NFL quarterback for 5 years. Baker Mayfield this year, his first game with
to the Airbnb quarterback now, Auntie.
His first game with the Carolina Panthers was good too. Now, but yeah, there's a reason.
He had a good second half. The first half was bad.
Right, but there's a reason now that he's with the Rams.
There's
right?
a reason, so, for sure.
Because you know, he's a little bit of a diva. And because he requested a release because he saw two teams that had a desperate need for a quarterback and his opportunity to get on the field so that he can actually try to show people that, hey, I have some talent. I'm worth signing in the offseason. I mean, just imagine where Baker Mayfield would be if he didn't have this game or didn't have this opportunity to showcase himself with the Rams.
Come on now. Come
this on. He's going to be just where he is next year, perennial backup.
This is a perfect situation for Baker Mayfield because Josh McDaniels, everybody knows he's got that photogenic memory.
You mean McVay?
Sean McVay. He's got that photogenic recall. So I truly do believe that Baker Mayfield told him, hey, this play looks like this. This play looks like this. You know, when he looked at the playbook, we used to call this play. And I promise you, Sean McVay altered his mind and called things that he knew. Because there's no way that Baker Mayfield – 2 days of practice can go out there on a Thursday night game and execute the way that he did.
Well, I mean, you got to think they probably dummied it down, right? And the one thing, and Baker had an interview after the game, on Prime and was saying that one thing that the last thing that they did was go over the 2 minute, and thank God they did, right? Because that's how he was able to execute. You got to think his last two drives were practically 2 minute drives because right. They were down by two scores. So that was one of the areas he was actually kind of comfortable in doing because that was one of the last things they went over. And, you know, when it's something that you go over last, it's seared in your head more than everything else. So right. If you look at it, sometimes he had that big behind wristband that had, you know, printed out for him with all the plays. So, it, you know, the timing and everything during the middle of the game was slower, but at the end of the 2 minute, I think his recall came into it like, all right, we just went over this last night. I get what we're doing. And honestly, I think it was literally like three or four plays, Omar, because you saw him last night. And you know, for the viewers or listeners, they can't hear or see what I'm doing. He kind of did like the repeat thing, right? Because I think they repeated a few of those plays, maybe even switched the sides of it. So, I mean, again, this I don't want to minimize what Baker Mayfield did because I don't know how many quarterbacks could have went out there. And again, the Raiders gave them an opportunity at the end, but still, absolutely. You got to go out there and execute and make the play. So
you got
to
run.
Kudos to what Baker Mayfield did, but the Raiders lost this damn game.
You got to pass the ball more than six times. You got to pass the ball more than six times. And, you know, Baker's going to be Baker. And to be honest, that game tells me that next game, you go in with a vanilla offense again with Baker because Baker has shown that, you know, the more he has to think, the worse he plays. And, you know, I think maybe you give him a vanilla offense and you let him just go out and go. I mean, look, the Rams aren't going to the playoffs. You don't have anything to lose. Let him go. Right. Let him go play.
I think they will. Before we go to break quickly, should Josh McDaniels survive this after losing to the Colts and then losing to Baker Mayfield, being there only 48 hours?
Yes.
He'll survive until they lose to the Steelers, then he'll get cut. Because I told you yesterday, dude, the Steelers is that team now. You lose now to them.
They get rid of you.
Listen, while Auntie does have a very valid point, I don't think the Raiders have the financial feasibility to cut. Because remember, he got a big-time contract. He chose his GM. This guy, Gelichick, like powers in this situation.
Yeah, but Mark Davis got a lot of power out there, too. And Mark Davis got a lot of money.
Mark Davis got a cash strap right now.
Mark Davis is the poorest NFL owner, Auntie. He on NFL welfare.
Mark Davis got some money on how to run an organization. I'm going to say that.
Well, we'll see again. Omar, to your point, right? He was able to bring his close friend and make him the GM. So will the GM essentially fire one of his close friends after 1 year?
It's
going to be a tall task.
I think he's ahead of the GM. So it would have to come down to Mark Davis. This is not happening. Mark Davis is the poorest of the NFL owners, of all the NFL owners. Their money isn't tied into some other business. Their money is the Raiders organization. Yeah. And they got Vegas welfare to support their stadium. So this is a situation, if he fires him, he'd eat that $10 million.
I'm Jake Mintz.
And I'm Jordan Schusterman, and we are the hosts of Baseball Barbacast, a SiriusXM podcast.
Like Edwin Jackson, the ultimate journeyman, we are hitting the road next week, headed to San Diego for baseball's winter meetings. We're going to be bringing you 2 episodes a day of in-depth and hopefully entertaining baseball talk. We'll be talking to the biggest names to get answers to the biggest questions, like who will sign Aaron Judge, and will Mike Farah notice that we're using his expense account?
Download Baseball Barbacast on the SXM app, available with all all of our trials and popular plans, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doolsbee, but with my squad, Auntie Chantel Trimerton, Omar Kelly. We want to hear from you guys. Give us a call, 888-623-3646, 888-MAD-DOG-6. Should Josh McDaniels keep his job after losing to the Colts earlier this year with Jeff Saturday just getting there as a head coach, and to the Los Angeles Rams with Baker Mayfield being the quarterback, getting to the Rams literally 48 hours before the game? Let's get into some of these calls real quick. We have Rhonda in Vegas. She wants to talk about the Raiders blowing it.
Okay,
Rhonda, welcome to I Am Athlete Tonight.
Hi there. Yes, I definitely do not think he should keep his job. He blew the end of that game. I don't understand why we didn't throw to Devontae. I don't understand why the holding calls were not called when there was holds against us, not against us, against them, when Max and Chandler Jones were going up against their quarterback. And yeah. I don't understand why in the world we stopped throwing the ball, period. In the
second half, we don't get it either, Rhonda. We don't get it either, Rhonda. Appreciate you calling in, Rhonda. The thing is, again, right, and she made a great point. Max Crosby was held every single play in that game, and they could have called holding every single play against him. But I blame Josh McDaniels. That's why I said this is a McDaniels issue, right? We talked about it, Auntie. Like, Josh Jacobs' hand messed up, and you out here running the ball 17, 18 times with him in the second half. Like, Devontae Adams had 71 yards at half.
And you act like you got a baby. Right. You act like you got a baby at quarterback. Derek Carr can play quarterback.
Literally, been a pro bowler, played in the playoffs.
Right. Let him throw the ball.
No question about it.
So crazy. We'll go to one more caller, and then we'll get on with the show. Zach L.A. wants to talk about Baker could be a good fit for the Rams. Zach, welcome to I Am Athlete Tonight.
That's what I'm talking about, Zach.
Yeah, I was wondering about what you guys think about Baker Mayfield in the next few seasons. I think this performance tonight, which frankly wasn't like his best on the field that we've seen from him, was enough to like just earn thoughts about him having a shot next year with the Rams. And with his lack of Cooper Kupp this season for the rest of the season, what's the peak for him in performance, and what would be a good finish to the season, you think?
Yeah, I appreciate you calling in, Zach. Go ahead, Omar.
I think Baker Mayfield is, you know, he's the pick poster boy for the entitlement era of professional sports.
Damn.
Anything goes wrong, any situation that he doesn't like, he's complaining, he's crying about it, he's making a State Farm commercial about it, and he's forcing his way out. So we've seen him force his way out of two teams in 1 year. I have a hard time believing he's going to sign on to be the backup with the Rams. I believe that Baker Mayfield is going to find or cherry pick a situation that will put him in position to sort of reestablish himself and reemerge himself as maybe arguably a top 20 quarterback in the NFL.
He ain't hardly a top 20 quarterback in the NFL. And you know that, Omar and dudes. And look, at the end of the day, I've been saying it from day one, right, Omar? The thing about Baker Mayfield is he plays with so much emotion. And while it's good, and like I said
it, before,
you're hitting your teammates in the head and you're getting them hyped up or whatever. But when things are bad, he goes the total opposite. And so he sulks, he pouts, he says, I want out. I'm not getting this. I'm not getting that. And so when the attention's on him, he's great. And he did this in Carolina. He had a great first game, or almost great first game, and then go from there, started going wrong, and now it was everyone else's fault except his. And until he takes accountability, if I'm Sean McVay, I'm going after a quarterback that can come in here, sit a bit, learn a little bit behind Matthew Stafford, and that's going to be my backup quarterback, not Baker Mayfield.
No, but you got to get that team ready, Auntie, for the time when Matthew Stafford is done. Because what does Matthew Stafford have? A season or two left?
That's what I'm saying. You get one of these young kids, right?
Well, this is my thing.
They don't have no draft assets, Auntie. Yeah. This is a team that this is the fuck them picks team.
You got somebody you can trade away to get.
This is my thing, Auntie. I think this is the perfect place for him. I kind of agree with Omar Kelly and what was my name? Roy, right? That's his name. I want to mess his name up. because Zach, because if you look at it, right, there's been rumors that Stafford could potentially be done, right? So you get Baker Mayfield the rest of these four games, right? Get him acclimated into the offense.
And
you get him on a deal like Marcus Mariota this last year, right?
And bring him back. Where's Marcus Mariota? Where was Marcus Mariota last week?
Baker Mayfield's a better passer than Marcus Mariota. I'm not going to. Not going to do
thank
do
him you.
Like Mariota,
that. Finally, you put some respect on that
man. He's a better runner.
But Auntie, you also have to take into accountability who the offensive coordinator head coach is, right? It's Sean McVay. If there's anybody that can take all that arm talent that Baker Mayfield has, that bravado and kind of, you know, because he's dealt with so many personalities on that team already, right? You got Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. These guys got big personalities. Von Miller, Odell Beckham. And he was able to bring
the
that team together and win
always
a Super
been
Bowl.
There. The, so these like coaches, if they crave coach, and love that moxie. Yeah, they want, he was selected number one because they love that moxie. They love the emotion that he played with Auntie. He just needs the right coach.
That emotion that they loved and picking him number one was also the reason that he is out of Cleveland and out of Carolina. Like I said, his emotions, the spectrum of his emotions are so high. And when you are the quarterback of a football team,
you got to be stable.
You got to be even keeled. Yeah. And the thing is, unless you're like, you better be like a Tom Brady who can jump in somebody's ass when things ain't going right. But then you got seven Super Bowls, and Baker doesn't have that right now. And then you talk about Sean McVay has dealing with a lot of these personalities. You talk about Odell. You talk about Jalen Ramsey. You talk about Aaron Donald. Von Miller, mm-hmm. All pro.
That's true.
Baker Mayfield.
You got us, Auntie.
But I'm just saying, if there's anybody that can kind of table Baker Mayfield in and maybe get him to where that talent meets that personality, I would bank on it being Sean McVay. So honestly, I kind of agree with Zach. I think this was the perfect spot for him to go to see the status of Matt Stafford in a situation where it was like Teddy Bridgewater or Jameis Winston, where he sits this next year behind Stafford and then takes over the mantle 2 years down the road. I think that could work for the Rams as well too.
Ain't they sitting too?
Who?
Bridgewater
where they were starters after that, though, Auntie.
But I'm saying, where Jameis they at now,
started, yeah, Jameis started last year, remember, but then he got hurt. So, I mean, it's hard to put that in.
Hey, man,
he was 5-2 until he got hurt.
Yeah. He also threw 1,000 interceptions, too, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know who's going to be the next Geno Smith.
Oh, Lord.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Dulzible, with my squad, Omar Kelly and Auntie Chantel Trimeter. And we've come to the portion of the show where me and Omar Kelly will have a nice little sparring boxing match via words, right?
Just like our teammate, Pac-Man Jones, who is fighting tonight in the Rough and Rowdy fighting.
And let me tell you something. If he get his ass whooped, y'all, I'm telling you, I'm coming on the show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week just to talk to him.
Oh, and I'm like, don't do Pac like that.
You got your ass whooped in 60 seconds. You can't fight for 60 seconds.
Well, it's three 1-minute rounds,
Auntie. 3 1-minute rounds.
But you can't fight for 60 seconds at a time.
It's technically 180 seconds.
A minute fight is long, Auntie.
He may get his ass whooped in that first round. You know what I'm saying?
I believe in Pat. I believe in Pat.
What's his record?
Oh, Lord. See, Auntie, you out. You shot out,
hold
Auntie.
Hold on, wait a minute. You're getting messy, Auntie.
Hey, I'm talking
getting real messy.
He's 0-1.
They need somebody to attach to him. I'm not saying I don't believe in him.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, he get his ass whooped and he go to 0-2, you know, what Cincinnati is in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
What the Bengals are in the Super Bowl.
Personal.
I'm coming at him for a whole week. Get your popcorn ready.
Let's push this forward. Auntie out here, she throwing haymakers. She throwing subliminal haymakers.
You got that smoke.
Verbal haymakers. Mm-hmm. But let's get into it, right? Big game Sunday between two young quarterbacks that will be tied together for their whole careers, right? Justin Herbert and Tua Tagovailoa. And if you look at this matchup Sunday, and I believe they moved this game to the Sunday night game, right? Which I think everybody's going to be excited about. Both of these quarterbacks were under heavy duress last week, Omar. I mean, this was the first time that Tua Tagovailoa, again, he missed 2.5 games, essentially 3 games earlier this year, but he played a top-tier NFL defense. Not just top-tier, he played the number one defense in football. And it looked all great in the beginning, right? Omar, first play of the game, 75-yard pitch and catch to Trent Sherfield. Again, the RPO game puts linebackers in the bind. Fred took half a step forward, right? Trent Sherfield just ran a quick little hitch route. And just because he took that half step forward, he was out of position to get in that throwing window. Then the safety took a bad angle, and Trent Sherfield, speed kills, Auntie. Speed kills. He took 75 yards to the house for a touchdown. But then what happened, Omar Kelly? The 49ers defense settled in. They're the number one defense for a reason. Fred Warner started making plays. But it was Nick Bosa, right? And and you've talked about this ad nauseum. Teron Armstead not being there. And supposedly he's going to try to go again this week, but I don't think he'll be able to go. He was questionable last week, too.
He was doubtful last week. He made progress.
My thing is, they're going to force that man out there, and he's, what, 33, 34 years old with a torn pec? Is going to mess him up, man. Go ahead and get that thing fight. Now, I get it, right, because at that state in your career, if you can play with it, you go try to do it, especially if you feel like you got a team that can make some noise. But if you're hurting your team and doing more damage than good, and you don't hurt yourself even more, then why even be out there? But
that's why they signed Eric Fisher.
And who hasn't played all year long and
farming. Look, I have my popcorn over here ready.
I'm ready. So let me set the scene and then we'll get into it, right? So we're talking about, again, after that 75-yard touchdown, the 49ers set in. Nick Bosa, three sacks, forced fumble that ended up being a touchdown. Tua Tagovailoa was high on some throws. He was late and behind on some throws. The one that Tyreek Hill hit his left, got picked off. And it was because he was under pressure. And he literally had been playing 7-on-7 the last couple of weeks because he was playing the bottom of the NFL defenses. Let's look at it, right? The Detroit Lions, the Chicago Bears, right? The Cleveland Browns, Auntie, this is the bottom of the, but you know that muck bottom of the barrel, you know, that's what he was playing against.
I said the Niners were going to beat them.
Let's talk about Justin Herbert, right? Because he's gotten so much scrutiny from Emmanuel Ogden, Omar Kelly. He's a social media quarterback. Let's just look at the tape, Omar Kelly. His two top receivers have only played, Auntie, for a combined 46 snaps the whole year. Let's see if Tua can play without Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill for most of the year and see what his numbers would be. Okay, let's go to the offensive line. Hold on. Let's go to the offensive line, Auntie. Rashawn Slater, all-pro left tackle. What happened to him, Auntie? Oh, he's out for the year, right? Right tackle, Trey Pipkins. He's missed half of the season.
8 games.
Oh, Pro Bowl Corey Linsley, the center. He missed most of the season as well. He should be coming back this week, but he missed last week. You know what, Omar Kelly? He got a sack fumble on him the first play of the game versus the Raiders. But you know what he went on to do in that game, Omar Kelly? He threw for 335. He didn't lose the damn game because of him. He lost the game because the Chargers defense can't stop a nosebleed in the run game. All right. So as we look at this game, right, to me, this is going to be a shootout, right? Because neither one of these defenses are good. I'm going to just be honest with you. They're not good. And Omar Kelly, we've been talking about this. Your Miami Dolphins, they just have not been able to run the football, which is alarming, right? Because we know the coach, right?
Yeah.
He was pivotal in the run game in San Fran.
The offense, he's a run game specialist.
To me, this isn't about Tua having a bounce back game. If you're Mike McDaniel, you got to be smart. The Chargers can't stop anything in the run game. They've lost their four top defensive tackles to injuries. Run the damn ball. Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson between each other should have 35 carries on, T. Literally, if Miami wants to win this game, that's how they're going to do it. Because I think this game is going to go down to the wire, Auntie. And if you let Justin Herbert have that ball last, Tua going to be crying. Go ahead.
Oh, please. Justin Herbert.
Go ahead.
I think the difference, if you look at Justin Herbert, you look at Tua Tagovailoa, there's no comparison when you look at their build, arm strength, athleticism.
Intangibles, there's no comparison.
Yes, there's no comparison. You would take Justin Herbert. But there's one thing that he's missing that he lacks, and that's that it factor.
Mike McDaniel.
That it factor. That
that's what it is, Auntie. Mike McDaniel.
That moxie that allows him to elevate the talent around him. We have made excuse after excuse after excuse.
Hold on. Before you go, Omar, I got to call BS.
Let me finish. I'll let you speak. Right. We have made excuse after excuse about injuries, about his offensive line. Tua had the same issues his first 2 years of his career.
Still, and did he go to the playoffs?
Nobody still had a winner.
How many yards did he throw for?
Listen.
Oh, okay. Okay, Auntie.
I'm just drinking my soda.
You just keep throwing numbers at me.
Facts at you. The numbers are facts, right, Auntie? Because numbers, opinions. They're facts, right?
So the majority of this season, once he came back from his concussion, Tua was the number one rated quarterback in the NFL.
Playing which defenses?
I mean, you want to name them. I mean, you telling me that Justin Herbert hasn't been playing against some bottom feeders too? He has no bottom.
He's in the AFC. Well, he has
the rookie record. Who set the rookie record for yards as a quarterback? Oh,
who has the most passing yards in the first 2 years of playing in the NFL?
Justin Herbert does.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
We didn't know that, Omar. We didn't know.
Okay, does he have a winning record? Does he?
Okay, so how good is a winning record if you've never been to the playoffs? So they're in the same boat essentially, but the other quarterback is thrown for an immense amount of yards.
Yes, immense amount of yards. Where's his touchdowns?
What do you mean?
Okay. Let me ask y'all a question. I want both y'all to answer this because I don't care. to be honest, yeah. I know we talked earlier about, you know, quarterback saying I'm going against a quarterback, Brock Purdy going against Tom Brady and thinking that. Is this because like you said, dudes, these two quarterbacks are going to be linked all the time.
Correct.
Is this a Tua against Herbert?
Absolutely.
100%. Because Justin Herbert literally, like you said, Auntie, has the most passing yards in the first 2 years. For the longest, let's not forget, Miami Dolphin fans were sick these last 2 years. Right.
Yes, they were.
It's funny how winning changes things, right, Auntie? Because before that, I can't believe we passed up on Herbert. We took Tua Tagovailoa, and it was tank for Tua. Let's not forget, it was tank for Tua.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll say this. If they didn't have – I said my question. I didn't finish my question. And as you're answering this, who – do you think would be more successful? Tua without Tyreek and Waddle, or Justin Herbert without Allen and Williams?
We have the answer already.
I'm saying we know without
Allen. The answer. Omar Kelly and his soul knows the answer. Manuel Acho knows the answer.
Right. So, you know, I'm just.
Because he hasn't had all of them, and he's still thrown for almost 3,500 yards this season.
Right. Matter
of fact, Omar, you answer my question. Right? Because you said, what's Tua's record, right? What was Tua's yardage last year without having those two top premier? And he actually had Waddle last year, but without Tyreek Hill, what was his yardage like? Was it anything like Herbert's?
Oh, no.
Okay.
But Herbert, when it's time for you, we'll see in the fourth quarter, on Sunday at probably about 11 o'clock.
Oh, you mean like last week when he threw a 70-yard touchdown on 4th and 12? That's what you mean? Listen, would Tua have been able to make that throw on the run?
Probably not.
Okay. The crazy thing is,
since y'all were throwing out stats real quick, I'm looking at the stats, and Justin Herbert, listen, without his two wide receivers for a majority of the season, has more completions, more yards.
We know that, but I mean, Tua did miss two games, Auntie.
Only one less touchdown, and I know he did.
And he's been with Tyreek and Waddle the whole year.
But that's what I'm saying. He missed two games, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but how many games did Justin Herbert's number one wide receiver,
missed combined together probably like a total of 16 games combined with them? Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great game. Omar, you're my guy. I think that the Chargers win by about 10.
Ooh.
Because Keenan's playing, because Williams is playing.
Mike Williams is supposed to come back. Corey Linsley is supposed to come back.
Corey Linsley's coming back.
You ain't gonna have Teron Armstead or Austin Jackson. I know you don't care.
And
about
you know
that.
Who I'm a fan of Austin Eckler.
Big. He's gonna be big out of the backfield.
I'm a fan of him. I think he's gonna be big out of the backfield.
Luke Riley's gonna have to have a big game for Miami.
Right. And the Chargers are playing at home, right?
I won't say he got exposed because it's Christian McCaffrey, but Christian McCaffrey kind of, you know, in those matchups, you know,
winning his ass.
He did what he did.
Omar, who wins?
Austin Eckler has that same type of build, especially out of the backfield catching the football. So it's gonna be a big game for Duke Riley.
I'm going with the Dolphins if Toronto.
Of course you are.
If
Teron Armstead plays,
I don't think it matters just because I think he's so beat up.
If he's out there, he's gonna give them a chance.
He coming back from a torn pec.
TJ Watt
is coming back from a torn pec.
He's had that all season. He's had those all season. Like,
yeah, but TJ Watt ain't been the worse same as the since season he goes came on. Back. Yeah, TJ Watt ain't been the same since he trying to come back from that pec injury. Like,
And Watt actually sat out for a while.
Right. Like, yeah. He sat out for six games.
Armstead hasn't really sat out.
I mean, he's going to give it a try, and I respect that. I think they have a chance. If they have, they're an elite team with Teron Armstead. They're not an elite team, and they could possibly fall out of the playoff picture if he doesn't play. I really do think that this is the turning point to the season. The Dolphins are either going to the Super Bowl. If they
the Super
Chargers,
Bowl?
I'm just saying, hear me out.
Wait, time out.
I how believe they have. How about we just get to the playoffs?
No. Right. I believe they've got a good team. I believe they got a good coach. I believe they can find a running
give
game.
Give it up, man. I don't know.
What'd you say?
The defense. The Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. If the Cincinnati Bengals got hot at this point exactly last year, I think the Dolphins can get hot too. Now, certainly they got some challenges because they play a lot of these AFC East teams and the Jets and the Bills and. I think they're done with Patriots.
Oh, so you're saying they played some of the top defenses down the stretch. So we'll learn about this Miami team is what you're saying.
Right.
Armstead gives him a chance. And I'm not a big believer in Herbert. I know,
You're a Herbert hater.
Yeah, I am a Herbert hater. Listen, and I've been a Herbert hater since the draft, and I'm glad that he's accomplished what he's accomplished. He lacks that leadership. He lacks a presence that makes people want to follow him. And until you find that, I can't rock with you as my quarterback.
But all his receivers love him. His running back, you ain't never heard them say nothing about any of that.
They wasn't saying love when I Am Athlete came out there on the tour. And they talked about how he needs to learn how to call the defense and identify, make the calls. He's still a young quarterback. He's growing. I just think he's been hyped up way too much. And the reality is he's good. He's not elite. And Tua is still the number one rated quarterback in the NFL, Auntie.
That ain't what I asked. A lot of quarterbacks ain't playing well. I mean, he's a JV player right
elite.
Now.
He's elite. Tua is an elite quarterback. The accuracy.
After half a season, he's elite.
He's been elite. He was elite at Alabama.
The last two years before this year, he was elite.
He was dealing with some adverse situations and circumstances.
And look, I elite quarterbacks Auburn, don't I deal with that. You do that. I went to Auburn, so I watched that Alabama games, and Tua had more talent on his Alabama team than some of these damn NFL teams have on their team. So, but what I'm saying is that's what made him a great quarterback. If Tua did not have Waddle and Tyreek Hill, like Herbert hasn't had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams,
will we even be
there's
talking
no
about
way we're
offense.
Talking about this conversation.
No. He won last year without his starting quarterbacks.
He won so, what?
He won what? That's what I'm trying to say. Did he go to the playoffs?
No, he didn't go to the playoffs.
Didn't they start off like 1-7 last year?
And then they rebounded and
and then who was the quarterback in between those times?
Oops. Who's the I'm drinking my soda.
What you talking about? Was it,
do we have to go to break?
When they were losing, they were Jacoby.
Didn't Jacoby win a few games? And then the year before,
sure
what happened?
Did.
Wasn't it Fitz?
Don't start the year before that. Like, we
know. Oh, no, what you mean? No, you said he's been an elite quarterback. We got to start.
No. I said he's an elite quarterback now.
You can't be just elite after five games. Come on,
you're
now.
Tripping with that, Omar. You can't just put people in the elite category, my guy.
He lost his first game last week, and now y'all act like y'all must have forgot. We were talking about Tua.
We didn't forget the defenses he was playing.
No, we wasn't talking about Tua for no MVP. We wasn't. V was T-H-E-E, not W-E.
Dudes, did we have this conversation? Did we have a Tua MVP conversation?
I must have.
I think he's in there. I think Jalen Hurts is far above everybody right now.
Absolutely. I actually think Patrick Mahomes is. So
I think Mahomes is ahead of Tua too right now.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.